If your restaurant has slow bathroom drains and grease blockages, call Superior Plumbing and Pipelining. Superior Plumbing and Pipelining's high-pressure sewer jetting and camera inspection of the drains will assure your peace of mind at your restaurant. Request a free estimate at SuperiorPlumbingJax.com.
A promotional fee has been paid by the sponsor of this program. For its editorial content, statements, views, and beliefs expressed by the sponsor do not reflect those of WOKV or Cox Media Group.
The Consumer Law Hour is brought to you by Farrah & Farrah.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now the Consumer Law Hour with Eddie and Chuck Farrah on News 104.5 WOKV.
Well, good afternoon and very happy Saturday to you. You are listening to the Consumer Law Hour right here on News 104.5 WOKV, brought to you by Farrah and Farrah. Eddie and Chuck here in the studio. The show is produced by Scott Kushner. My name is Tim Tompkins. The phone lines, they are open. 904-340-1045, 904-340-1045. Good afternoon. Chuck, we missed you.
Hey, yeah, I was out. I was doing a training session at our office last weekend, trying to train our people up to be better handlers of cases and so forth. So.
Well, Tim, it's good to be here.
I'm happy to have you as
well.
Good
to be anywhere.
Yeah.
And yeah, we got some stuff to talk about. Well, of course, we'll take phone calls, but I want to start off talking about this new Supreme Court ruling. We've talked about the stand your ground and what it gives you in terms of immunity if the court finds you or, I mean, if the court makes a determination that you fall within the confines of the stand your ground statute, then you're immune from criminal prosecution. The statute also was interpreted previously as giving you immunity in a civil case. So if, you know, you shoot somebody and that person's either doesn't survive or they're badly injured, if you are covered by the stand your ground under the old interpretation of the statute, you could not be prosecuted criminally and you had civil immunity. But that has now changed a little bit. And the Supreme Court has recently ruled that even though you may be immune from a criminal prosecution, you are not immune from a civil case, separate. So you could still be sued for money damages even if you are found not guilty because you complied or you come within the confines of the stand your ground statute.
So this is final?
Yes. This is from the Florida Supreme Court.
Wow.
That's the law of the land. If you read the statute said you were immune from any liability. So everybody interpreted that, okay, you can't be sued for money in addition to not being prosecuted criminally. But that is not the way the Supreme Court interpreted it. So therefore, you are still could be on the hook for money damages. Okay.
Thoughts on that?
Yep. Well, I'm just telling you, typically if you shoot someone, I mean, that's not going to be covered by your homeowner's insurance. I mean, if there's a mistake, I mean, I've seen cases where people think someone's breaking in and it's a friend or somebody negligently discharges a firearm. Typically, your homeowners will cover you for that. You know, let's say you drop your gun accidentally, it goes off and hits somebody. That's a negligent act. That's not an intentional act. And typically, homeowners covers negligent type situations. Homeowners policies don't cover intentional. If you come over and I intentionally beat you up or intentionally attack you, I'm not going to get, and you're injured, there will be no insurance for that. Mm-hmm. So in these typical stand your ground situations, there probably won't be insurance to cover those situations. So anyway, that's the rule now. That's the statute. I mean, that's the law of the Supreme Court. Unless the legislature comes back and passes another law that grants you civil liability, that's the law in the state of Florida right now. And, Paul. Okay. I want to talk about, all right, go ahead.
Paul first?
Yeah, let's take Paul. I'll get back to this Amendment 7 to the Constitution. Go ahead.
Sure, and the phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. Paul over on the south side, thanks so much for calling in.
Hey, Paul.
How you doing, sir?
Hey.
I got a quick question. I worked for a company for several months. And one day my foreman told me that my superintendent then wanted to see me. He didn't know what it was for, so I went over and talked to him. They said, well, we're paying you X number of dollars an hour, and we just don't think your production is fast as it should be. We're going to take a dollar an hour away from you. And I objected, and I explained to them why, that because of my age, that I'm more valued than most employees, and I have a lot of experience. And they would never explain to me why I wasn't making production. They didn't explain anything. So for 7 weeks went by, and it didn't happen. This week, the dollar an hour went away from me.
Right.
They took my dollar an hour. My question is, I always thought there was a Supreme Court ruling back in the 70s or 80s that nobody could take money away from you unless it was a court order or you voluntarily signed a waiver.
No, let me tell you, I'm not a wage and hour lawyer, but, you know, having... You know, because of the, basically because of the radio show, people calling in and asking these questions, I've reached out to friends of mine, labor lawyers, who kind of have kind of brought me up to date as to what's going on. So I can't claim to be an expert on labor law, but basically Florida is an at-will state.
Right.
You know that. And they can fire you. I mean, as long as it's not based on race, religion,
creed.
And so age is a protected class. The only thing I can see, I mean, Tev, if you can prove if somebody who is younger than you is making the dollar more, or maybe they'll argue that he's not only, he may be younger, but he's producing more than you are. That's why he gets the extra dollar. It's going to be tough to prove that. You're going to have to prove that people who are doing the same production you're doing are making more money. And that's the basis for the age discrimination. That's the only thing I can see there.
Okay. All right, thank you for your
But I mean, I, the only, yeah, if you want, I mean, I have, there's a lawyer in my office who handles workers' compensation claims who's done some labor stuff before. If it gets complicated or you get in a jam, call us and you can at least talk to her. But that's my understanding of the law.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, good luck.
Appreciate your time. 904-340-1045. Yeah, you know, if you want to get a call in.
Yeah, and the wage discrimination things I hear is difficult to prove a lot of times. You know, I mean, all these labor cases, they're difficult. You really don't hear, I mean, you saw some of the big settlements in Hollywood and where people were, you know, or like the news, you know, the Fox News people who were being harassed and so forth. But those are few and far between. I mean, I keep up with the cases here in Jacksonville and rarely do I see a verdict coming out, you know, in favor of an injured, you know, an employee who's been, you know, either harassed or a victim of an age discrimination. I think maybe... A lot of it because most of those contracts, if you have an employment contract, has an arbitration provision in it, which is not an open court type situation. They're held in private. Nobody ever knows what happened. But
or they're settled.
Or they're settled.
Right.
Yeah, people settled.
They're settled.
I was thinking about that with the Fox
News stuff. You can walk in and reduce your wages of your employees if that's something you want to do, as long as it's not based on age, sex. Yeah. You know,
you don't have to work
and
there.
So you don't have to worry there. You can work somewhere else. So they can come in and slash your earnings.
Now, in his employer's,
there's nothing you can do unless you have a contract. Now, you may have an employment contract, which brings it. You know, now it's a contractual dispute that says, you know, if you're going to earn X amount of dollars over the course of the year, and they guarantee that through a contract, it's a different situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
tough situation.
Yeah. Okay. Here it is. On we've talked about medical malpractice cases and. People calling in about medical mistakes and everybody. I mean, listen, as I've said a million times before, medicine is not black and white. It's not like running a red light or running a stop sign. The doctors can do everything humanly possible, perfectly by the book, and things can still go wrong. I mean, that's just this is the way it is. And if you talk to anybody in the healthcare field who works in it, don't just take it from me because you're not going to, you know. You're saying, well, you know, he's a personal injury lawyer. He's going to say that. No, talk to the people in the medical health field. They'll tell you that it's not. I mean, it's not. It's things happen. You know, you can have a bad outcome, and the doctors or the hospitals or the nurses do everything they can or do everything they're supposed to do. But what you can do, there's a Florida statute. It's Amendment 7 to the Florida Constitution. It allows you to prior, and you can do this prior to the time you have your surgery. Let's say you're coming and going in for a knee replacement at X hospital. You can write that hospital, and under Amendment 7 for the Florida Constitution, you can ask for any adverse medical incident they've had with knee replacements. Okay? And so that can mean that somebody went in for a knee replacement, they operated on the wrong leg or put in the wrong knee replacement or He suffered a very bad outcome that was a result of a mistake. And you're entitled to that information. And the Florida Constitution, Amendment 7, gives you that right to write to the hospital and ask for that adverse medical incident. So very powerful. And a lot of people are using it, but a lot of people don't know about it. But it's an Amendment 7. If you need some more information on it, you can call me at the office and I'll send it to you. It's called an adverse medical incident report.
And anybody can request that.
Yes. You don't have to be a lawyer. You can be a patient. You don't need a lawyer. If you're going in for a knee replacement or a shoulder or a hip, and you want to know about things that happened there at that facility, you can write them, ask them, and they have to turn it over to you. Mm-hmm. By law. So.
Do you guys have to use that often?
Sometimes, yes. A lot of lawyers use it. I mean, people use it. Lawyers use it.
Prior issues being admitted into the court. I mean, it may be difficult.
Well, it's not
you from a legal. You can't use the fact that they screwed up a leg 2 years ago to prove that they screwed up your leg. Mm-hmm. You know.
Right.
But it may show they have negligent hiring. They may have maybe the same person's committing the same mistake over and over again. So why is that person still at the hospital? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've got the same nurse who keeps making the same mistake, and why is that person? You know, why didn't you? You can argue that. You can argue a negligent hiring type situation. Or
a lot of this stuff is really
plus it's good for you.
Negligent retention.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, forget all that. Forget them.
It allows you to make an informed decision on where to get your treatment.
Yeah, forget the lawsuit. Who cares? I mean, you're worried about your health.
Right.
That's a number one priority. So you can do that to several hospitals. You find one that has no medical problem, no incidents regarding knee replacements, and one has 10. You may choose the one that has no. So, but anyway.
And the phone lines are open. We're coming up on a break right now. The 904-340-1045. Again, that's 904-340-1045. The Consumer Law Hour brought to you by Farrah and Farrah right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Welcome back. The Consumer Law Hour right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Eddie and Chuck here in the studio, brought to you by Farrah and Farrah. The phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. We have BW from Clay. Thank you so much for calling into the show.
Thanks for being there for us, gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Thanks for calling in.
My main concern was possibly a statute of limitation on someone had told me I only had a year after I resigned from my big box company that I'd been with for 18 years.
Right.
And all because of a refusal of, I guess, taking little hints and hands-on about, being misappropriating ourselves with the boss or something, with the boss. Anyway, I made that statement when I was trying to be written out, and they stopped it right off the bat, and then they had an investigation. They said, after they made me sit down and write a big old, as much as I could write, but I only had like a 45-minute time limit. And they pulled me right out of work, and I had to get right back to work. So I didn't feel very, just then, or things were just, but then they came to me and said that they couldn't find out. They didn't investigate. Well, my long story short is I turned my resignation in 3 days later, and I've worked out 2 weeks. Because I knew I was on the way out at 47 years of this kind of business, 18 with this company. I said, yeah. So, but anyhow.
What do you mean? They were accusing you of sexual harassment?
No, sir. No, sir. I was actually.
Okay. He was a victim.
You were the victim. Okay.
Right. And numerous amounts of turndowns.
Okay. And then you were, and you notified your supervisor?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay.
Above the supervisor that I was working under.
Yeah. Because you have to report it. They have to be on notice about it.
There's a statute of limitations that could be anywhere. I think in Florida it may be 300, maybe a year, 365 days from the date the last time you were harassed.
Ooh. Well.
And.
They had said from the last, from when I was cut from the company, or when I cut myself,
Right. Okay. Like that, we don't. We're personal injury lawyers. We don't handle these types of cases day in and day out.
If you were to give me your phone number, I'll call you Monday and give you the definitive time.
But I know it's 365. Yeah. I think it's from the last time you were harassed. But you know, that's what you know.
I know, but I think then did you file an EEOC claim?
Yeah, you got to file a claim.
No, sir. That's what this person I was talking to that worked there also said that.
I think you have to file that first.
Within the 365 days. Yeah. It's like filing the claim, filing the lawsuit.
And then they said that was in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
Well, they'll investigate it here in Jacksonville. You don't have to go there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would, or wherever you're at. I mean, they'll go investigate it as a, you know.
Well, I think they actually wrote me off the books on the 21st of February last year.
Did you write, well, you still have time to file your EEOC claim, I guess.
If it's you could still.
Possibly be Monday, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, if you really want to pursue it, I'd probably contact a labor lawyer. What I don't know, you're running under the gun, and I mean, the Jacksonville Bar Association has an attorney service that, where for $50, you can talk to a lawyer who's an expert in that field for a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you could probably maybe try to do that on Monday if you can. What day would that be? Today's the 17th, so you'd have time, and maybe you can file something on that on Monday.
Yeah, well, and the only reason I talked with this person, it was she was at another store.
Well, what was the result of the investigation? Did you?
Oh, I apologize, Peter. We're coming up on a break. Stay on hold, though, soon as we get back.
It's a little different. It's a guy getting sexually harassed.
Yep. They'll dive more into that. You're listening to the Consumer Law Hour, brought to you by Farrah and Farrah. Eddie and Chuck here in the studio. We have a traffic alert. We're following on the south side of town, I-95. Jacob Pickering in the traffic center has the latest. We're back to the Consumer Law Hour right here on News 104.5 WOKV, brought to you by Farrah and Farrah. Chuck and Eddie here in the studio. We're going to go back to BW and Clay. Thank you so much for staying on the phone lines.
Thanks, BW. Thanks for sticking around. Just real quick, again, you know, we're not labor lawyers, and we don't know what the laws are exactly. But I did a little bit of research over the break, and if a supervisor is harassing you, if it's the supervisor that's doing it, then from my understanding or reading the statute, they are automatically liable. It's a strict liability if a supervisor is doing it. So it behooves you to, I mean, you got to a Wednesday, if that's the 365th day of it is a year.
Yes, sir.
So you ought to do something about it. I mean, I don't even think you need a lawyer. You may be able just to call the EEOC on Monday and file the complaint. Most people don't even use a lawyer for that.
Huh? I'm sorry.
Most people don't even use a lawyer for that.
Oh, okay.
I'm just assuming you may not have time to find somebody.
Yes, sir.
But so you can do that on your own. But I mean, again, you're getting the advice from someone who is not experienced in that area. But my initial research shows that if a supervisor is the one who's harassing you, they're strictly liable.
I wouldn't even have thought of this if I hadn't ran into this person that did something similar to this at another store. Happened to her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she's a she and I'm a he.
Right, right.
It's a big company. I hadn't planned on leaving them until this year now and starting my 66th year on my social, but I stopped a year early and just,
Yeah, I'll tell you, if you can't, I mean, I'd file the EEOC complaint and then...
I will.
I mean, if you need to find a look, if you can call us, call me at the office and I can help find you somebody if you want to pursue it. After, you know.
Yes, sir.
But
I believe I will. Right. I believe I will. I look for my letter I wrote up, and I've got it all written down. I keep it all together. I just didn't have my hands on it right now. But I feel like they should have done a lot more research. There'd be a lot more people would have said, oh, yeah, she's always putting her hands on, wanting to put her hands on him or hugging him or something.
Yeah.
You know? And it was like.
Yeah, I'm telling you, if it's a supervisor who did it.
Yes, sir,
it makes your case much stronger. Because it's not a co-employee, it's a supervisor. Takes it to a different level.
Yes, sir. Man, thank y'all very much,
good luck,
gentlemen, for being there.
Yeah, man.
And blessed day to y'all every day.
And interesting case.
You too, sir. Take care.
Go get them.
I'll give you a call.
Fantastic.
What would be your straight number? I'm sorry.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you get my 396-5555. Believe your number, And I'll call you on Monday, too, if I don't hear from you.
I'll leave my number with this gentleman. Yes,
right,
sir.
Thanks.
Thank you again.
That's something you don't hear every day, huh?
Yes, yeah, but it happens.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's
super... works both ways.
It works both ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe it. Okay, I think Judith's on line four. We've been waiting.
Hey, Judith, we appreciate you calling in.
Hey, Judith.
Yes, I have a question. My husband had a colonoscopy done, and the doctor cut a hole in his colon and called the emergency room and rushed him over to the hospital. They had to do emergency surgery. He was in ICU for 4 days. He was in the hospital for 7 altogether. And, you know, we're being billed for the hospital bill. We're on Social Security. And the ambulance bill. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that we can do about that?
Well, I mean, that
goes back to what we were
that
talking about.
Yeah. I mean, how is he doing now?
Well, he's doing better. But yeah. He was put to sleep for a colonoscopy.
Right.
Then, two hours later, he was put to sleep again to do emergency surgery.
Right.
So it's affected his thinking. He gets confused a lot right now. I don't know how long it'll take for that to wear off. If it will, they had to cut him from his navel down and do the surgery. It went well, but he's still, sore and, he can't lift any more than 10 pounds. So it's affected his life right now.
Yes, but that's not going to be a permanent situation. He's going to eventually heal up, right? I mean, that's typically what happens. Okay, even if it is a medical mistake, okay?
Yeah. Well, the doctor admitted it was his fault.
Yeah, yeah, but it's a risk. It can happen during a colonoscopy. That's a risk. If you look at the document you signed before you underwent the procedure, it'll probably mention that. But if he's going to be, even if it is a mistake, and even if the doctor shouldn't have, torn through the colon area, you have to look at what the permanent injury is going to be, because most attorneys are not going to accept a medical malpractice case unless there is a severe permanent injury. Because of what it costs to handle the case and all the hoops you have to jump over before you can even file the lawsuit. So typically when people heal up from their act, even though you may have $50,000 of medical bills or $75,000 of medical bills that you feel you're not responsible for, not many lawyers, I don't know of any lawyer, who would take a case just to go collect the medical bills when there's not a serious permanent injury.
Okay.
That's the problem. I mean, you could maybe go to the hospital or the facility where you incurred the bill, or maybe go back to the, and ask them, hey, look, this is not my problem. These medical bills were a result of something y'all did, and maybe they'll work something out with you. That happens a lot. You can go to them and ask them. I don't know if you've done that or not, but they'll consider it. And a lot of times they'll either write off the bills or pay the bills off or not hold you responsible for them.
Yeah. Okay.
And the other thing you can do is, you can file a complaint with the Agency for Healthcare Administration in Tallahassee. You can do that online, and they will investigate it. They're required by law to do an investigation, and they'll let you know the result of that investigation. And I've seen situations where people file those complaints through the Agency for Healthcare Administration, and the facility will come up and they're not required. They can't make them pay the money, but sometimes they'll just voluntarily either pay the bill off or write it off.
Okay. Yeah, because we're on Social Security, and we've got to pay over $1,300 just for, the doctor's mistake. I mean, that's deductible. Plus the ambulance,
right.
The doctor called the ambulance to rush him to the hospital because he'd filled up with blood.
I understand that, but most doctors and facilities will take that bill and not worry and either take care of themselves or write it off.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of sitting down and talking to them. They'll probably do that.
Okay. Thank
sure.
you for
yes,
your
ma'am.
Time.
Thanks a lot. Glad to see your husband's going to be okay. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
That's what
Thank
matters.
You.
Yes, they did a good. They did a good job of taking care of him after the fact.
Right.
That's the important thing.
It's the silver lining in the situation.
They do good work. I mean, that's a very serious condition. You can die from the infection, but they did a great job of taken care of.
Is that a known risk? You know, that's what it comes down to when they do a colonoscopy. Is that within the reasonable risks that could?
People, we get calls all the time. Oh, I went and had a surgery. I had a little knee surgery, or I had a scope, and now I've got MRSA, and I've got this bacterial infection, and I'm taking all these antibiotics, and my life is turned upside down. I got a PICC line. I got this. I got that. And there's really nobody can guarantee a completely germ-free operating room. Mm-hmm. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not negligence, because somebody may get. Typically, it's not negligence. All I could say if they had a very unsanitary room and. You can hold them responsible for that, but generally, they're doing everything they can to keep it germ free. So just because you contract a bacterial infection doesn't mean that that's a mistake or malpractice. Now, if they don't treat it properly after they know you've got it, that's a different story. But just contracting it by itself is not a cause of action.
Emergency rooms are wild right now too. With everybody with the flu, there's people in beds.
Sure.
Littered in the hallways.
I mean, do you blame them for if you go to an emergency room, you contract the flu from somebody there? That's the same thing. They can't guarantee it.
It's wild. It's like a scene from The Walking Dead or something. I didn't realize how many people had the flu right now.
Yeah.
We have Jeff on line two.
Yep. Jeff in St. Augustine. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, I have a question. I have something on my record I would like to get exonerated. Could you tell me the steps I need to go through to do that?
I'm not a criminal lawyer, but I know a little bit about it.
It's fine.
You don't have to give me the details or anything, but were you found guilty of the crime, or were you was adjudication withheld?
I was arrested for my ex-wife and her first husband were going through a child custody battle. They blamed me for molesting my stepdaughter.
Mm-hmm.
I was not found guilty of that, but I did plead guilty to a third-degree misdemeanor, and this is out of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, this was in 2004, my lawyer told me it just amounted to touching somebody on the shoulder that didn't want to be touched.
Mm-hmm.
I have had a pistol permit issued by the state of Alabama since then in 2008, and I have since moved to Florida, and now they're trying to hold my concealed carry permit up because of this.
Right. Have you gone through the process of trying to get your concealed weapons permit back?
Yes, sir. I'm doing that right now with the state of Florida, and they keep holding it up because
of this?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. They're waiting on the arrest report from Blount County, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if I just went ahead and got it expunged. What is the process I need to go through? What are the steps I need to take?
Okay. Well, from my limited knowledge of it, it's not to be done in Alabama, first of all, because that's where it happened. But in Florida, it's my understanding, and I may not be 100% correct, but if you are convicted, typically you go in and you plead no contest and the judge withholds adjudication. I know those can be expunged. But if you're found guilty, I'm not sure. I don't know. You'd have to talk to a lawyer in Alabama because the laws are different from state to state. What you could do is contact the Bar Association in Alabama where this happened in your county, and they have an attorney. They probably have an attorney referral service that can get you in contact with somebody. Have you tried that yet?
No, sir. I didn't know what to do.
Yeah. It's a bar. Like in Jackson, in Jacksonville, we have the Jacksonville Bar Association, and they have an attorney referral service, and they have a program where for $50 you can talk to a lawyer for 30 minutes about your legal problem, like an expert in that field. And that's a great program. A lot of people use it. But most states have, almost every state that I know of, has a bar association where they can get you in touch with a lawyer. So you could just Google, what county were you in?
Blount County.
Yeah, Blount County Bar Association, and they'll probably have some contact information there for you.
I certainly appreciate the information.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that phone call.
Yeah, you have to. Florida, we talked about that last week, about getting your right to vote back if you were a convicted felon, how that's been very difficult. And now the federal courts have come back and said they've got to really streamline that process and make it easier for people who have been convicted of a felony and served their time can get their right to vote back, We didn't talk about getting your right to carry a concealed weapon again. I mean, that's a whole different process.
It's a whole nother ballgame. And in
Florida,
right,
it's very difficult. Right. And we talked about that a few months ago. Remember how many phone calls we got? I don't have those procedures, but it's much more difficult to get that gun permit back than it is, of course, the right to vote. But maybe they'll work on that also.
Wasn't with the right to vote, wasn't it? You had to wait.
Oh, yeah, like 16, 14, 15 years, yeah. 14, 15 years.
Just to have them hear you or
and then
whatever
the clemency, it was. There was no consistency in the clemency board. I mean, we talked about it last week. It's the governor and the clemency board who determines. And one guy said, hey, I voted illegally, but I did vote for Governor Scott. And they gave him his right to vote back. And the others didn't say who they voted for. They didn't get it back. So
just got to figure out who the governor is, which party he is. That's who you're voting for.
That's who you voted for. Right. But, anyway.
Funny.
But this concealed weapons permit thing is getting tougher to – you have to – we'll talk about that. So let me dig up some information on that. We'll see what's going on with it.
All right. Well, we have one segment left. Right, if you want to get a call in to Eddie and Chuck, 904-340-1045, 904-340-1045. The Consumer Law Hour brought to you by Farrah and Farrah. We're back. The Consumer Law Hour right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Eddie and Chuck here in the studio. We have Eleanor over on the west side. Eleanor, thank you so much for calling in.
Hey, Eleanor.
I've just got a question. Is there an easy way to get out of a timeshare?
I wish.
We've gotten those phone calls
before. Have you gone online and checked and see, kind of read what people are saying about these timeshares?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. I did after we got hooked into one.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a contract, and you're obligated. I know there's a secondary market where people try to resell them, but and there are people that'll take your money, who'll tell you that they can try to sell it and get you out of it. But I've not heard anything good coming from any of that.
No, we even tried that. That's the reason I was calling, just to see, what a next step would be to get out of it.
Did they pay? Did you have to pay money for that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they said they would try to find somebody to buy it from you.
No, they said they would. There was three members of my family there, and all three of us purchased this timeshare.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that if they could not sell the timeshare that we had, that they would purchase it after a year, and they said we needed to pay them $200 for the, selling the timeshare. So we did that. And then after a year's time, they said, no, we don't buy timeshares. So
You thought they were buying it from you, so you wouldn't have to make the payment.
Yeah. Well, yeah. See, they said that they would purchase it from us if they could not sell it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They never lived up to that.
Here, so... We just wanted to know what a next step was.
I mean, I don't know, Eleanor, I don't know what to tell you. I've heard these horror stories. I don't know what the recourse is. I don't know if you do have recourse. You signed a contract. You're responsible for it. The only thing is if you want to sue the people that you went to buy it from you for fraud, but that's a whole lawsuit and it costs you a lot of money. I don't know if that's going to do you any good. Unless you want to work out something with the people you originally bought it from and see if you can pay them some money to get out of the contract. Sometimes they will take money up front. Let's say a portion. Let's say if you owe them $10,000, maybe they take $5,000 now and get you out of it.
Okay.
I mean, you could try to negotiate with them.
Okay, because it's they're scams.
Yeah, well, they definitely are. You not using the timeshare?
No.
Okay.
Not even used it, but yet we still have to pay that maintenance fee every year.
Mm-hmm. How many years do you have left on it?
Actually, I think the one is about $6,000 on it.
Left total?
Yes.
Okay. So why don't you call them up and say, you don't have the money. You've come up with $3,000 right now if you'll get me out of the entire contract. I mean, that's a way to deal with them.
Okay,
if you can.
Had a try.
Okay. Thank you.
And we appreciate the phone call. You know, if I learned one thing from this show, it is to not ever buy a timeshare. Yeah. Nobody that calls up.
It's never any good.
I can't believe they're still selling them. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Consumer Law Hour right here on News 104.5 WOKV, brought to you by Farrah and Farrah. Show's produced by Scott Kushner. We have a Southside traffic alert. We're following Jacob Pickering in the traffic center with your update coming up.
If your restaurant has slow bathroom drains and grease blockages, call Superior Plumbing and Pipelining. Superior Plumbing and Pipelining's high-pressure sewer jetting and camera inspection of the drains will assure your peace of mind at your restaurant. Request a free estimate at SuperiorPlumbingJax.com.